That is chapter 3. And we're going to go to verse number 31. In the book of Judges. And we bless the name of the Lord today, April 23rd, yes. 2017. Let's look at the book of Judges, chapter 3, verse number 31. And it says this, it says, "And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anak, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel." Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we bless you, we praise you, we magnify you, and we lift you up because you're God.
Yes.
And Father, we exalt you in this place, O God, because, Lord, you are awesome, you are mighty, and Father God, you are spectacular.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, we love you today, and we come before you now, God, and we desire to hear your voice. We desire, O God, for you to speak words of wisdom and words of life, words of strength and words of hope,
yes,
unto us. And Father, we believe that right now you have a word that will change our lives forever. And so, Father God, we humble ourselves before you now, and we ask you to speak unto us, O God.
Yes.
Share with us, yes, your heart.
Yes.
Give us revelation, O God. Give us a new vision, O God, for our right now, that we can,
yes,
walk in it in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And Father, that we can fulfill the blessed destiny that we have in you. Father, we thank you that you are not done with us yet, that your purpose has yet to be fulfilled. And Father, we're believing by faith that what you have for us today will help us and propel us into that wonderful future and a hope that you have for us as your people.
Yes.
And so, Father God, we submit to your authority right now. We put our minds and our hearts at rest as we look to you to break forth the bread of life.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you right now for nourishing our spirits, our souls, and even our very bodies by the power of your Spirit and through your word. We give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We just read Judges 3 and 31. I want to read it again. Judges 3 and 31. It says, "And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anak, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel." Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
That's Judges chapter 3, verse number 31. And that's the last verse in Judges chapter 3. Mm-hmm. The first 30 verses of the third chapter of the book of Judges centers or begins by telling us about the nations that God left in the promised land in order to test Israel. Mm-hmm. God had previously told Israel before they even entered the promised land that when they entered, that they were to utterly destroy the Canaanites, right? The men, the women, the young, the old, the animals, that they were to utterly destroy them, that they were not to make any covenants with them, that they were not to intermarry with the Canaanites, and that they were to destroy and pull down all of their religious altars and images.
Yeah.
God told them, "This is what I need you to do, this is what I want you to do, this is what I am commanding you to do, because otherwise you will be corrupted by the Canaanites and turn away from following me." And of course, we know that Israel failed to obey. Mm-hmm. They got into the promised land, and they did not drive out all the inhabitants of Canaan. They did intermarry, and they followed other gods.
Mm-hmm.
The chief god that they followed was Baal, and Baal was a storm god and the fertility god of the Canaanites. Mm-hmm. And Baal, you know, it was worshipped in various ways in various cultures. That's why sometimes you see the word Baal, B-A-A-L-I-M, which is just a plural of Baal. Mm-hmm. But because there was, you know, many cultures, and Baal was viewed this way, Baal is viewed that way, Baal is viewed... So Balaam is like all of that. It's just a plural of Baal, right? And so you'll see sometimes it says you chase after Balaam, meaning they were chasing after all these pagan gods.
Yes.
And then they were also worshiping Ashtoreth, right? The goddess of erotic love and that kind of nonsense. And war. She's also a goddess of war. Mm-hmm. And, you know, usually it was associated with a pole, which is interesting, right? You think about a pole and Ashtoreth, you know, and she's the goddess of erotic love. And you think about how poles make their way into the, you know, strip clubs and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Jesus, wow.
Poles.
Wow.
Right? Anyway, but they followed after her, right? They followed after Ashtoreth. They followed after Baal and Balaam. They intermarried and they didn't drive the people out of the land. And so when we get to the book of Judges, we consequently see something happen, right? And that is that God allowed the nation, because the children didn't drive them out, the children of Israel didn't drive them out, and God allowed some of these nations to come and to oppress Israel. And they would be oppressed for a number of years, and then Israel would cry out to God. God would have mercy on them. He would raise up a judge.
Yes.
A judge would deliver Israel from the current oppressor.
Yes.
The nation of Israel would live in peace, and the land would have rest for a number of years as long as the judge was alive.
Yes.
And then the judge would die. And then the people of Israel would go right back to Baal and right back to Ashtoreth, amen, and then get oppressed by another nation for a number of years, cry out to God, he'd raise up another judge, and on and on and on and on. And it was just a cycle that repeated itself. Now, if we weren't humble and truthful and honest, we would look at that and say, what's the matter with those people? But because we're honest and humble and truthful, we can look at them and say, I've acted just like that myself.
Amen.
That God has delivered me from some stuff after I cried. I walk in freedom and in peace and in rest for a while.
Wow. Wow.
And then after I get to that place of freedom and peace and rest, I go right back to doing what I was doing.
Amen. Jesus.
And then when I get in trouble, I cry unto God again.
Yes. Yes.
That's why we don't look up our spiritual noses at anybody in the Bible.
Amen.
Because when we look, if we look hard enough, we will see some facial resemblance.
Yes. Amen.
They look a little bit like me.
Amen.
But this was the cycle that they went through, right? They would go through this. And it was repeatedly, the book of Judges just goes on and on with this. Let's look at verse 1 in Judges chapter 3. And read down to verse 7, because you see a little bit of this. It says, now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. Only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof. Namely, 5 lords of the Philistines, and all the Canaanites, and the Sidonians, and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal-Hermon unto the entering of Hamath. And they were to prove Israel, or to test them, by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to be their sons, and served their gods. And see, that's the summary right there, right? They did everything that God told them not to do. Or they failed to do the things God told them to do, right? They didn't drive out all the Canaanites, as you see, all of the Ites who were living here, right? Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, and so on, all still living in the land with the Israelites, amen? Mm-hmm. And then it says they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to the sons of the Canaanites. And they served their gods. So we see here that this is what was going on. And then we get to verse number 7. And it says, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and forgot the Lord their God and served Balaam and the groves. So they were serving these false gods, these pagan gods. And they fell into the hands of the Mesopotamians. And then God raised up the first judge in Israel, who is Othniel. Amen? Mm-hmm. Othniel. And he raised up Othniel, who actually comes from a very a proud line, a proud heritage, because he was Caleb's nephew. And we remember Caleb. Caleb was one of the 10 spies, who, you know, 12 spies, but he wasn't like the 10. He and Joshua had a different spirit in them and had a different rapport. And Caleb was ready to go up and to possess the promised land. And we know when he got to the point where he was 85 years old, he said what? He said, I'm still ready to fight. Give me my mountain. Mm-hmm. Right? Caleb had a different spirit, right? Caleb was totally sold out for God, and God blessed him. Well, Othniel was Caleb's nephew. Right? If you read here, it says that he raised up Othniel, and it says that he was the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. Mm-hmm. Right? So Caleb's brother had a son named Othniel, and God raised him up to be the judge. And he came and he led the people to victory against the Mesopotamians. And it says in verse 11 that the land had rest for 40 years. Mm-hmm. And then Othniel died. And then in verse 12, it says the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Right? And this time the Moabites came and they oppressed Israel for 18 years. And then the people cried out to God, and he raised up another judge. This one was called Ehud. Right, from the tribe of Benjamin. And the scriptures tell us something interesting about Ehud, amen. If you look at verse number 15, it tells us that he was a Benjamite. And then it says he was left-handed. Right? It just seems kind of, he's left-handed. But God made a point. It seems odd. Well, why are you telling us, God, he's left-handed? Well, if you go and read the story, amen, his left-handedness came in handy, because what he did, not only was he left-handed, he went to visit the king of Moab, mm-hmm. who the Bible tells us was a very fat man.
Yes, it does say that.
When you read this account, it's very graphic.
Yes.
Yes. So, Ehud is left-handed. The king of Moab is very fat. And Ehud came to the king of Moab, his name was Eglon, and he came to Eglon to bring tribute or to bring money, right? Because they were being oppressed, and they had to, you know, give money, you know, pay tribute unto the king of Moab. And so he came to bring tribute, and then Ehud was leaving with his associates, and then as he's walking, he said, wait a minute, y'all keep going, I gotta go tell King Eglon something. And so then he comes back and he says to Eglon, he says, no, I gotta tell you something God told me. And so Eglon said, okay, and he told him, he said, I just need to tell you. And so Eglon told all his servants to get out. And then this left-handed Ehud, who when you look at it, it tells us, right, in verse 16, that he made a dagger which had two edges, and he did gird it under his clothes upon his right thigh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now let's just talk about this better, because we know that the right hand is the place of honor, and in the Bible, it's a place of honor, and the right hand is a place of strength.
Yes.
But God wasn't pointing out to us that Ehud was left-handed to somehow suggest that that was weakness or a curse, right? The mere fact is that 90% of the people in the earth, in the world, are right-handed.
That is true.
Most people are right-handed. It's not that left-handedness is a curse. In fact, if you go in the book of Judges in chapter 20, verse 16, it talks about that among the people of Israel, there were 700 warriors who were left-handed, right? Who could, what they said, they could sling, right? They could sling a stone. And they were so accurate, they could sling a stone at a hair. Wow. A hair, and not miss it.
Wow.
So left-handedness was not a weakness, it was just different. Right? And I think part of the reason why God is telling us the story, because you gotta understand, if they were coming to visit the king, his servants had to have checked them for weapons.
Yes.
But given that most people are right-handed, it could very likely be that they patted him down on his left side. Because, see, if you're going to take a sword and you're right-handed, you're going to reach this way and grab it out.
Wow. Wow.
But Ehud was left-handed, and his sword was on his right thigh. So they probably didn't check him. And so now he comes back, this left-handed Ehud, and he goes to tell the king something, and when he got close to the king, he reached over with his left hand, took the knife off his right thigh, and plunged it into the fat. And he killed the king.
Yes.
And then he led the children of Israel to kill 10,000 Moabites. And delivered Israel from that nation. Mm-hmm. And it tells us, as we get to verse number 30, that Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest for 80 or for 80 years. And that's what we see in the first 30 verses of the book of Judges. And then we get to verse 31. And verse 31 says, and after him, meaning after Ehud, was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. The end. Just one verse. Because the next verse talks about, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. But Shamgar's in between. Mm-hmm. Because Shamgar was after him. And then we start learning about Deborah and Balak. Mm-hmm. But wait a minute. Why we rush so fast past Shamgar? God used 30 verses to bring us to this point, and then he uses one verse, if you read in the King James Version, only 23 words.
Wow. Wow.
To tell us about Shamgar. And Shamgar is the third judge in Israel. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing that says, he's the third judge in Israel. I don't know about you, but numbers, I like to see sometimes. Well, what was that? He was number 3, he was number 4, he was number 5, he was number 10. See, could have significance. 3 is the number of the divine.
Yes.
He's the third judge in Israel, yet he gets only one verse. But I believe that God is doing something here. He's trying to capture our attention. because he's telling us this story. He tells us how Israel got into this cycle of repetitive sin and deliverance and then sin and deliverance. And he tells us why, right? Because they didn't drive out the nations and they intermarried and they worshiped the false gods. And then he raises up the first judge, Othniel, right? It's from this proud lineage of Caleb. You go, oh, okay, that's something else. And then he tells us this graphic story of Ehud with the left-handedness and everything else. And you go, oh, man, I can see that. Oh, man, right? Look at this. God's raising up people who think they're cunning and all this. And then he gets to Shamgar and just says, yeah, and he delivered them too.
Yeah.
And you say, wait a minute, God. Why are you rushing so fast past Shamgar? But let's look at this verse. What do we know about Shamgar in these 23 words that God has graced us with? First, we see that Shamgar, we know he was after Ehud. Second, we see that Shamgar was the son of Anath, meaning his father. When they say son of, they usually pointed to the father, not the mother. So he was the son of Anath. His father's name was Anath. Mm-hmm. Anath refers to a Canaanite goddess. So there's some belief, right, that Shamgar was the son of a mixed marriage. And remember, there was this intermarrying going on, which was part of the problem of the children of Israel. Research will tell us, amen, and you'll see different people having different definitions, but one of the definitions of the name Shamgar means named a stranger, which really strongly suggests that he was of mixed heritage. That he wasn't pure. He wasn't pure Israelite. He was mixed. And so therefore he was strange or a stranger. He was named a stranger. If you look in Judges chapter 5, which is after Deborah and Balak, amen, delivered the children of Israel, there's the song of Deborah. And if you see in verse number 6, she refers to Shamgar. She says, in the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through the byways. What does that mean? That means during the time of Shamgar, people didn't travel on the highways. They avoided them. And I believe why that's told to us to give us this picture of how dangerous it was for the children of Israel to travel out in the open. Mm. And so they didn't travel out in the open. They traveled along the byway. They took the back route. They took the back road. They took the winding roads instead of the main roads because this was a dangerous time. So Shamgar was at a time when the Philistines apparently were terrorizing the people so bad, they wouldn't even travel on the streets. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The streets were unoccupied. What else we know about Shamgar? From this verse back to verse 31 in Judges chapter 3, we see that he killed 600 Philistines. Mm-hmm. 600. Now, we don't know whether he killed them all at once or if he killed them over time. Mm-hmm. But still, one man killing 600 Philistines. And Philistines, amen, they were fierce warriors and became the arch enemies of God's people. Mm-hmm. And here this one man killed 600 of them, either all at once or over a period of time. But either way, it's impressive. What else we know about Shamgar from this verse? He killed him with an ox goad. What's an ox goad? An ox goad is a stick. It is about 8 feet long. On one end, it had a flat metal piece. And on the other end, the wood stick was sharpened. It was pointed. And the sharp end was used to goad the oxen as they would plow, right? Mm-hmm. And the flat metal end was used to clean the mud off the plow. So you know what an ox goad is? It's just a simple farming instrument. So wait a minute now. So he killed 600 fierce warriors with a simple farming instrument?
Yes.
And understand, the Philistines were experts in using iron. If you recall, in the book of Samuel, in the time of Samuel and in the time of Saul, the children of Israel used to have to bring their pickaxes and the other implements they use in farming. They would have to bring it to the Philistines to sharpen them. Because the Bible says that the Philistines would not allow the children of Israel to have blacksmiths. Mm-hmm. Because they were afraid that they would make swords. So the Philistines had blacksmiths. Israel did. So that means that if he's killing 600 Philistines, they probably have swords and all kinds of metal weapons. And here he has a stick with a sharpened point and a flat edge to clean off mud off the plow. And he used this simple implement to kill 600 fierce enemy warriors. And the last thing we're told is that as killing these 600 men, he also delivered Israel. So what is God telling us here? I believe this. I believe he comes and he almost interrupts the story with this one verse that he just throws in there. Mm-hmm. And it's almost as if he wants to see if we're paying attention. I'm telling you this story about Othniel. I tell you this graphic story about Ehud. And I'm about to tell you about this great story about Deborah and Balak. But in between, I'm just going to throw a verse in there to see if you're paying attention. I'm just going to put one verse in there about this man named Shamgar and see if it captures your attention, captures your heart, captures your mind. And I believe what he's trying to tell us here is that here we have this man who's either unknown or very little known, right?
Yes, yes.
He has a questionable background.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He has a questionable background. You know, he has some issues in his family, perhaps, right? With this mixed marriage and all this stuff going on. He doesn't have many resources at his disposal. After all he has is an ox goad.
Mm.
He's probably a farmer. Right?
Yes.
He's using an implement that's, you know, that you use when you're plowing fields. Mm-hmm. And yet this man was used by God to accomplish a great feat.
Yes.
That changed the lives of many people. And I think God is trying to capture us and to say, are you paying attention?
Jesus.
And I know I didn't tell you up until this point the title of the message. But I think now's a good time to reveal it.
Amen.
And the title of the message is, Why Not Me?
Jesus.
Why not me?
Amen.
Because see, a lot of times we look at ourselves and we think we're not good enough.
Amen.
Right? We're not strong enough. We're not qualified. Ooh. Right? We think we can't do something. It's got to be somebody else. But God is saying that you need to change your thought. And you need to start saying, why not me?
Amen.
Why? Because God used this man who is unknown or little known, who doesn't have many resources at his disposal, didn't come from the best family,
amen,
didn't come from the best background, didn't have the best start. Amen. He's not prominent, but yet God still used him,
amen,
to accomplish great feats on behalf of his people that changed the lives of many.
Yes.
And God wants you and me to look at this, and he wants us to look at Shamgar and say, why not me?
Amen.
If God can use him to do this, then why can't he use me? And I believe, amen, coming off of what God told us last week, right? Don't put
Jesus in the box.
Don't put me in the box. Because too many times we have limits of what we think God can do for us,
amen,
to us, or through us. And God is saying, don't do it.
Don't,
right?
Do it.
See, and I believe this, amen, that this one little verse of scripture that's tucked in between Ehud and Deborah and Balaam, right, that God deliberately used the brevity of this to capture our attention.
Amen.
Because if you're reading along, you go, okay, Ehud did this, Ehud did that, and then there was Shamgar, and then there was, wait a minute! Why are you going so fast, Lord? And he wants to capture our attention and say, are you paying attention?
Wow.
There are some powerful truths here. And I think that what he's saying unto us is, just like with Shamgar, you may be unknown to many people right now.
Amen.
Many people may not know who you are. Amen. You may be little known in a certain circle, right? Just like Shamgar, you may have some family issues or some personal issues that have alienated you from other people.
Yes.
Whereby somebody can call you a stranger.
Yes.
Right? You may have some issues that make you a stranger. Just like Shamgar, you may not have much at your disposal. He just had an ox goad. Maybe you just have a high school education. Maybe you just have $100 in the bank.
Amen.
Maybe you just have, you know, a small little storefront church.
Yes.
Right? You may not have much at your disposal.
Yes.
And it may seem that what you have is not of much value. But God is saying, if you allow me to get a hold of you.
Yes, Jesus.
If you would allow me to get a hold of you and what you have, there's no telling what you can accomplish.
Amen.
Right? Amen. There's no telling what you can accomplish. Why not me?
Amen.
Why not me? Glory to God. A lot of times, you know, we ask, why me? Right? When bad things happen, why me?
Why me?
Why does that happen to me? Why me? Why me? Usually when you put a negative inside of a sentence, it's usually not good. But here, why not me is better than why me. So why me is a crying question. Why me? Why is happening to me? Why me? Right? But why not me is a question that, even though it has a negative, is filled with so much in terms of positive possibilities.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You know, when I was in law school, I had a friend of mine, his name was Rob. Amen. And we were in law school together, and we used to talk about things. Like, we used to see people come to talk to us, accomplished lawyers and things, and they've done this, that, and the other, and, you know, they accomplished this, and they had this kind of practice and all that. And I used to go up to Bob afterwards, and I say, they're doing it. Why not us? I used to say that to him all the time. Why not us? Because I saw what they were doing, and none of it was magic. I saw what they were doing, and none of it is said. I looked at it and go, I couldn't do that. It never entered my mind. Instead, I looked at them and of the confidence that they were, and I said, why not us?
Amen.
Come on, somebody. And how many of you know, some of the same things I saw them doing, I've done it and done more than that by the grace of God. Why? Because it was something in me that said, why not me?
Amen.
See, that's a powerful question. When you see people accomplishing things, and you know, you see people having things or whatever, and doing things in the earth, instead of going, well, they're lucky, you should look at it and go, why not me? God is no respecter of persons. And if he did it for them, why won't he do it for me?
Amen.
Amen. And so, why not me? And see, the devil want to tell you, well, because you're too small. Well, David, I heard, was small.
Amen.
Little stature. So that can't be it. Why not me? Well, they don't have education. Moses was a stutterer. Can't use that. Why not me?
Amen. Hmm?
Nobody knows you. Well, nobody know that boy with the two fish and five loaves of bread, but we still talking about him. Why not me?
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. I look at all of it. We should go, why not me?
Amen.
God wants us to rise up and stop looking at our failings and our faults and the things we don't have and the things we can't do. And then what we do is disqualify ourselves.
Mm.
I can't do that. Somebody else needs to do it. We look at it in the bank and go, man, whoever thought of that, man, they ain't making money. Well, why ain't I you? Why don't you think of something?
That's right.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Man, that's somebody who made a mint off a Snuggie. A Snuggie. A blanket with sleeves in it. Come on. Don't act like you never been cold. You had a Snuggie in your hat. You just never got to that next point of saying, man, put some sleeves in this thing. But why not you? Why can't you come up with the next thing that changes the world? Why can't God use you to preach a message that frees the captives? Why not? Why not you?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And so here we have tucked into this scripture, right? This little known man with the strange name, with the questionable background, who doesn't have many resources, and yet God used him to kill 600 Philistines.
Yes.
And to deliver Israel. Amen. And so God is saying unto us, we may not have much, but he can use us to accomplish great things. So know what he's saying? Don't think small, think big.
Amen.
Don't look at your situation and see the limitations. See that God has no limitations, and if you allow him to use you, there's no telling what he can do to you, through you, or for you.
Amen.
Amen. Why not you? Why not you? Don't think it's too late, because God may just be getting started. Well, I'm 65. Well, God may just be getting started. Amen. Abraham didn't have his first kid, the real one. He didn't have his, no, the child of promise. That's what that was. That's the real one. The child of promise.
Yeah.
He didn't have a child of promise until he was 100.
That's right.
Amen. So you can't say it's too late. How is it too late? Mm. Don't put a clock on God. Don't put limitations on God.
Amen.
Amen. Don't disqualify yourself. Because if God didn't disqualify you, then don't disqualify yourself. And don't allow somebody else to disqualify you. Well, I'm sorry, you don't have the qualification for the job. Listen, you believe God, God will have you being that person's supervisor by the end of the week.
Yes. Amen.
Like they say, favor is not fair. It may not be fair that you jumped the line.
That's right.
But don't,
amen.
Don't limit God. Amen. Amen. He used this crude instrument to kill all these people. And you think about in the Bible the things. God is so good at using small things and inferior things to accomplish a lot.
Yes,
right? Moses had a staff. That's just another stick. Mm. Right? He raised it up. What happened? Red Sea parts. Samson had the jawbone of a donkey. Right?
Yeah.
Killed 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of a donkey. David, what he had? A slingshot. He had a cannon. He didn't have. This is why you gotta be careful. I was reading the news. They say what that we were dropping what the mother of all bombs on somebody. You saw that the other week, right? We're dropping the mother of all bombs. Because all that mother of all bombs stuff, ain't it? God can use a little boy with a slingshot and some smooth stones. To take out enemies. We better be careful with this pride that we got, amen.
Amen.
We don't need big, amen. That's what the world trying to tell us. We need big. Bigger is better. Big is not always better.
Amen.
And in fact, God doesn't want to use big. Remember he told Gideon, you got too many men. Right? You got too many men.
That's right.
Why? Because God wants to get the glory. So Moses, give me your stick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Give me your stick. I'll use your stick. Samson, use the jawbone of a donkey. David, what do you got? A slingshot and some small stones. God is expert at using that. Woman, what do you got in the house? I got a handful of flour and a little oil. How come that lasts for months in the middle of a drought? Amen? Because God can use little things. And how did the drought end? Huh? Because rain came from what? A cloud that was how big? The size of a man's hand. God uses small stuff. He talks, right? You have to have faith the size of what? A mountain? The size of the moon? The size of the universe? No. Faith what? The size of a mustard seed.
Yes. Amen.
God uses little. Right? Two fish and five loaves of bread. What are they among so many? There's nothing. But until you put it in the hands of God, and then God can use it to do what? Feed 15,000 people. And of course, we know God used as one man to bring many men to righteousness.
That's right.
God don't need a lot. So why do we come and we stand here thinking we have to have, we got to be fully equipped. I don't need to be fully equipped. What do they say about cars when they got everything in them?
Fully loaded.
Yeah, I don't need to be fully loaded.
Amen.
I can be the base model. I have nothing. I got nothing, brother. My rear gate, you better lift it up and put it down. And no one back lift. I got nothing. Brother, remember I got in my car when I moved out here? I used to jump with my friend. I said, I got automatic windows. When I do this, they automatically go up. And when I do this, they automatically come down. That's how I am, amen. But guess what? God can use me to do great exploits. I don't have to be fully loaded. I don't have to be fully credentialed. I don't have to be fully bankrolled. I can be whoever I am, and God can use me right here, right now, to do some things that will change the lives of many people.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Because that's what God does, right? He uses ordinary people who have ordinary backgrounds, who got ordinary issues, who got ordinary problems, but when they obey him, what is he now going to do? Extraordinary things. So that's right. Nobody knows you. You travel up and down the road, nobody's waving to you from the side, and you walk into your office building, nobody knows you. You walk into the job, nobody says anything to you. You go home, and you seem like you're just nondescript. It seems like you're vanilla. Then nobody knows you. You just come back and forth. But it ain't over yet.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Why not you?
Why not?
Why not me? Amen. Why not me? Why can't God do some stuff to me that changes other people around me? Why can't God do through me some things? Amen. Why can't God do for me some things, amen, that allow me to be used by him to change this world?
Amen.
Why not me?
Why not?
I'm not eliminating myself. And God is saying unto you today, don't you eliminate yourself. If I haven't disqualified you, says God, don't you dare disqualify yourself, and don't let any demon in hell disqualify you from my service, amen? Because I don't need the great, right?
Yes.
What does it say? It says God uses what? The foolish things of the world
yes.
to confound the wise.
Yes.
And he uses the weak things of the world
yes.
to confound the mighty. Right? He uses the base things. He uses the things that are despised. He uses the things that are not, right? To bring to naught things that are.
Jesus.
Right? So maybe I'm not something. Oh, you're not that. You're not yet. But he uses the things that are not to bring to naught the things that are.
Hallelujah. Yes.
You're in no position to tell me, but be careful.
Amen.
That means I'm the kind of person God will use.
Praise the Lord.
So why not you, amen? Right? God uses broken vessels. God uses the weak. He uses the despised. He uses the neglected, the forgotten, the overlooked, the failures, the simple, the outcast. You ever been in any of them categories? You ever been in any of them categories? then you know what? You should be rejoicing right now, because you should stand up and go, I'm qualified to be used by God.
Amen.
Huh? I'm on the outside looking in. I'm qualified to be used by God. You don't have to have the credentials. You just have to have the anointing. Amen?
Amen.
So why not me? God is saying, don't put limits on him. Amen? Don't put limits on him. Let's look at a verse of scripture, and we're going to come down from here. Amen? Just, we need to get on out of here and go home so that we can start allowing God to put us in position to use us starting right now.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
You know why? Because see, right now you're qualified.
Yep.
I don't know how many more classes you got to take to get your degree, but I'm telling you right now you're qualified. Amen?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
I don't know how much more money you need to sock away before you can accomplish your thing. I'm telling you right now you got the resources if you put it in God's hands. Huh? Why not you?
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, he started a business using credit cards and $2.15.
Then why not me?
Amen. That's right.
why we gotta read about these other success stories and think that's out of our reach? Why not me?
Amen.
That's why I love reading success stories. But every time I read, I start thinking, because what can I do that's the same? Or similar? Because why not me? Aren't you favored?
Amen.
Huh? Don't you walk around saying, I'm blessed and highly favored?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then why not you?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Where did we start this song? Zechariah, right?
No.
Chapter 4. We're just going to read verse 10. It says, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There is other versions of Zechariah 4 and 10 tell us, amen, doesn't even ask the question. It says, do not despise small beginnings,
yep.
For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin.
Yes.
See, God loves to see the work begin, and he loves to use small things. Why? Because that way he gets the glory out.
Amen.
See, because someone knows, there's no way you could have done this. See, that's the position we want to be in. You don't want to be in a position where people can say that they can see how you did it.
Yes. Amen.
See, that's too small. See, the thing that God wants to do through you is so big that people are going to look at it and say, how in the world did you do that?
Amen.
And it wasn't me.
That's right.
It was God.
It was God.
Right? How'd you get this house? God. How'd you get this job? God.
Amen.
Huh? How did you get that ministry? God. How are you able to do that? God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Not me.
Not me.
Huh? I'm a stuttering, stick-carrying farmer. Huh? I'm a college dropout.
Yeah.
I've been fired from my job. I've been unemployed for the last X number of months.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get that job? God. That I'm not disqualifying myself. Amen. Amen. And here's the thing. At the end of the day, you don't need a whole lot of people saying things about you in order for you to be a difference maker.
That's right.
Because all you got to do is remember Shamgar. How much is said about him? One verse.
One verse.
Talk at the end of chapter 3. Right? Just tucked in there. After this dramatic story of Ehud, we are going to tuck this up in here.
Yes.
And then we're going to go right over and talk about the first woman. See, so you see what's going on? This left-handed man. Then the woman, because you're going to remember the first woman judge, right? You're going to remember her, Deborah. Oh, everybody know Deborah. And so you got this Ahu with his left hand itself. You got him sticking the thing in the fat. And when you read the rest of the story, there's some stuff that I'm not going to say because it's Sunday morning. But there's some stuff when you read it. Go home and read it. See what happened when he stuck it in.
Oh, gosh.
Make sure you're not eating when you eat it, dog. So I got to say.
Amen.
But you got that story, and you got the great Deborah and her exploits, and in here you got this stranger.
Jesus.
23 words.
Jesus.
He said it, and we move on. But how many of you know he delivered Israel? He did something great because he is written in God's word.
Yes.
And I'm telling you that God can use you and use me no matter how humble we are and how seemingly disqualified we may be to the world. He can use us to do that. It's not too late. You're not too small. You're not, you know, too uneducated.
That's right.
You're not too inexperienced.
Right.
You're not too anything.
Anything. Amen.
For God to use you to do something great. All you need to do is to get in you and realize God is great. And you say, why not me?
Amen.
Amen. You have the heart. Why not me? If you can see and have the possibility and have the bit, why not me?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we praise God, amen.
Praise
God.
Praise
why not me?
Why not me?
We are not putting God in a box, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're not limiting him based on any conventional way of thinking.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
But we're just going to open ourselves up to the wonderful possibilities of what God can do and the power that he has.
That's it.
To do it, amen.
Amen.
And the next thing you know, amen, you know, we might be talking about you and the great things that you've done for
Lord.
Other people,
praise
amen.
The Lord.
To help them get delivered, amen. To help them be made free. To help them achieve their goals, amen.
Amen.
Because here's the thing. The best life, right, is a life that has positive impact on others.
That's
amen.
It.
It's not about how much stuff you can amass and collect. But how many lives can you positively touch? Huh? That's a true measure of a man or a woman of God. Amen. How many lives can you positively touch for the kingdom? Amen.
Amen.
And there's no limit if we just give God what we have. Right?
It's Lord.
Amen. Why not me?
Why not
amen.
Me?
Amen. Let's pray today. Glory to God. Father, we thank you.
Thank
glory
you.
To God.
Thank you, God.
We thank you for Shamgar.
Yes.
We thank you, oh God, for this story, for the brevity of it, which captured our attention, captured our imagination.
Yes, Father.
And Father God has filled us with the possible, filled us with hope and with faith, oh God, knowing, God, that we, oh Father God, are not disqualified.
Yes,
no matter what we do not have, no matter what we lack, Father, you have given us something that can be used by you to make a difference in the lives of others. Father Shamgar only had an ox goad, and yet he killed mighty warriors who were experts in the use of swords and other iron weapons.
Yes.
He did it through your power. And Father God, we may not have much. We may be just like Shamgar, aliens, oh God, strangers to others, oh God. But Father God, if we will just present ourselves unto you, there is no telling what you can do to us, for us, and through us. So, Father God, we stand here flat-footed today, and Father, with an outstretched hand and outstretched necks and faith, we say, why not me?
Why
not us, oh
yes,
God?
Father.
Why not use us, oh God, to touch the world? Why not use us, oh God, to preach the gospel? Why not use us, oh God, to start businesses and to employ people and to help people and to educate people and to strengthen people and to rescue people? Not in our power, but in your power, oh God. Hallelujah. Why not us? Why not your people? And so, Father, we thank you now, God, as our hearts are filled with possibility. As you fill our hearts with wisdom, as you renew our strength, oh God, and just restore us to a place of hope. And Father, we thank you, oh God, that the best is yet to come, that miracles shall be done, that great exploits shall be done by your humble people with simple backgrounds, ordinary means, chosen by you to do great and extraordinary things. And so, Father God, we pray that we will stay encouraged, oh God. Continue to minister this word unto
yes,
us.
Lord, in the name
that we're not excited for a moment and then lose it. But God, let this be an anchor in our soul. Let us walk it out, oh God, every day from this day forward, as we look and see into the future and see the possibilities of being used by you in tremendous ways to advance the kingdom of God in the earth. Why not me? Why not us? Father God, we believe that you want to do it. And Father, we get in line with you and in your plan.
Yes.
And we thank you, God, that we shall be used by you to make a tremendous difference in this earth. And for that, by faith, right now on this day, before anything else happens, we give you the praise.
Yes.
And we say thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Why not you? Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Why not?
Amen. I'm telling you, I used to sit there with Rob and I, amen. I used to just tell him all the time. That was the biggest encouragement I had for myself. I just said, why not us?
Amen.
Going to start today.